Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting/kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
One arrest can open up the floodgates and solve some seemingly unsolvable cases. On March 6, 1846, a man was born who would end up behind bars for one murder and one murder alone. However, if he is to be believed, then he is a prolific serial killer who somehow never got caught. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Thomas David Carr was born on March 6, 1846, into a home with an abusive father who treated him horribly and who, after he turned just 3 years old, moved his son and his seven other siblings all around West Virginia. Never really settling down anywhere for too long, Thomas still managed to cement himself a troublesome reputation, and while living in North Wheeling, began running with a bad crowd and was sent to prison for unknown reasons before he even reached the age of 10. Claiming he was intimate friends with John H. Burns and his accomplice, Oscar Myers, who killed a woman named Mary Montoni, Thomas ended up slipping poison to John, who was sentenced to death, but claimed the man was, quote, too cowardly to go through with it. Moving again, this time to Belmont County, Ohio, in 1861, when he was just 15, Thomas enlisted in the 16th Ohio Volunteer Infantry, though he claimed he was 19 in his records. And that same year, he was captured at Cheat Run in West Virginia and spent some time in a Confederate prison camp. After he was released, he continued to serve and joined a few other Union regiments. Once the war came to an end, Thomas spent some time working in Tuscarawas County, quote, got religion, and began attending the Ulrichsville Methodist Episcopal Church. Hopping from job to job, place to place, he settled for a time in Sewellsville and there met 13-year-old Louisa Fox, who at the time worked as a domestic servant for the Hunter family. Digging coal for Alex Hunter at a mine in the area, Thomas became acquainted with the young girl and found himself smitten despite their vast age difference. And he was hell-bent on marrying Louisa Fox. So how did he go about proving his love and intentions? Well, he began maliciously stalking the child so much so that her parents had to get involved. Undeterred by both of their insistence that she was far too young to marry, Thomas attempted to convince them to force her into the union. And when both they and Louisa herself turned him down yet again, he decided that if he couldn't marry her, then he would have to settle for killing her. Stealing a razor from a shoe shop, Thomas went to the Hunter residence and, speaking with Louisa, lied and claimed that he had been into her parents' home and that they wanted her to come visit them at her grandparents' house. Though some sources claim that, after an afternoon drinking away Louisa's final rejection, Thomas simply learned of her trip to her grandparents' home, the result was unfortunately the same. While the young girl went walking, Thomas, changing his mind, went to two different homes looking for a gun. Getting nowhere, he went to the field and noted the tracks that he was sure belonged to Louisa. He then ran up the hill and waited for his opportunity. Moments later, Louisa and her little brother Willie crested the hill and saw Thomas there hiding behind the fence. The pair began speaking, with both at some point breaking down into tears. But Louisa remained steadfast that they couldn't marry due to her parents' disapproval. Thomas, unwilling to let go, told Willie to go down to the road and that they would meet him shortly. He did as he was told, as his sister and her older suitor began arguing. They, too, began their walk down the road, with Willie about 10 yards ahead of them, and then Thomas, without warning, grabbed her arm and pulled her towards a nearby ravine. Sources say that Louisa expressed her wish to die rather than deal with all the problems she was facing, and Thomas, calling her bluff, asked if she was ready to die. Despite her pleas to live, he pulled out that stolen razor and slashed Louisa Fox's neck right across her jugular vein, leaving behind a 10-inch long and 2-inch deep wound. Thomas continued wielding the razor until the girl took her final breath. Leaving the body behind, Thomas, considering ending his own life as well, began walking back up the hill when he decided to go back into town, get a gun, and kill Mrs. Hunter. That's when he noticed that with Willie nearby and knowing exactly who killed his sister, Louisa's father began chasing after him. Frantically knocking on every single door that he could, Thomas asked the residents if he could borrow a gun to, quote, kill a rabbit, and was finally given one by a Mr. Young. Now armed, Thomas cut through the woods and then made his way to the same road he saw Louisa walking on earlier in the day. That's when he saw a group gathering around the murder scene, and cocking his gun just in case, he boldly decided to join the group coming in and out of the Fox residence to see Louisa's small body being worked on by the doctors. Feeling this overwhelming need to kiss her and shake her hand, he decided to wait until the room cleared out some more, and in the meantime, watched what he would later claim was the, quote, most beautiful corpse he ever saw. He eventually decided, weakened by the day and a lack of food, to head to a hideaway in a nearby bank until morning. Though he initially wanted to see Louisa's body again, he decided against it, tied the gun with his handkerchief, put it in the rafters, and then pointed the muzzle straight at his heart. Using a string to try and end his life, hoping the blast would kill him instantly, when he jerked his hand and pulled the trigger, a bullet shot towards him and lodged in his breast just to the left of his heart. In agony, but still very much so alive, Thomas Carr fell backwards, and checking to see if the bullet was still inside him, it was, he got up and walked over to a nearby spring for a drink. That's when he heard the sounds of someone yelling, murder, and in a panic, took that same razor, slit his throat, and jammed the blade into his windpipe. Though he almost severed it completely and lost enough blood to faint, he somehow managed to survive the ordeal and was promptly arrested for the murder of Louisa Fox. Found guilty in June of 1869, Thomas David Carr was sentenced to death, and while his lawyers attempted to appeal, he again made an attempt on his life. Somehow surviving again, on March 8, 1870, while waiting for his execution, Thomas made a full confession and not only took responsibility for the murder of Louisa Fox, but stunned everyone by admitting to a total of 14 other murders over the course of his lifetime. He claimed that the first murder took place near Virginia's Greenleaf Mountain, where he wandered away from his regiment at the time to get a drink and was accosted by a citizen trying to arrest him. Defending himself, he shot the man before fleeing, and the following day, the man succumbed to his injuries. Shortly thereafter, while a prisoner in South Carolina, Thomas learned that there was a man named Edward Beringer attempting to join the Confederate States Army. With two comrades in tow, the trio shot the man before he had a chance to do so. After his release, rejoining the 18th Ohio Infantry before being discharged to Mississippi, Thomas claimed he shot two rebel soldiers, and turning towards the 4th Ohio Infantry, he shot a woman named Annie Whalen in Clarksburg. He said that she was a sex worker whom he had connections to. Enlisting in the 180th Ohio Infantry, he claimed he was prevented from arresting a deserter, Dr. L. Voorhees, who denied such claims, and after fighting in the Battle of Franklin, he said he killed and then robbed two men before moving on to Wise's Forks in North Carolina and killing an unaware rebel sergeant. His next victim was allegedly a soldier of the 84th Ohio Infantry, who he was supposed to guard and killed after an attempted escape, and claimed that he was in a gang of 11 men who raided a shop in Petersburg, Virginia, and stomped the owner to death in the process. Then there was a time that he and 14 other soldiers learned that a federal soldier was being hanged by Confederates in the cellar of a prominent Southerner's home in Raleigh, North Carolina. And upon raiding the home and finding the accusations to be true, the men burned down the house and gang-raped a teenage girl as she fled to safety. They left her for dead in an orchard, and upon hearing the story about the crime, Thomas, acting as if he wasn't involved, said the men responsible should be hanged. He shot a man who was trying to break into a home he was guarding, threw a waiter overboard of a steamer who refused to give him food, attempted to ride a streetcar without paying, and when kicked off by the conductor, sliced the man's ear to the point where it was almost severed completely, and stabbed the driver when he came to help, who then died shortly thereafter. Escaping as usual, he threw a bottle of whiskey at a man in Newark, Ohio, splitting his skull wide open, and now out of the military, he began working a job for a bricklayer, escaped one evening, and while strolling through town, met a German traveler named Joseph Isiel, who asked for his help in killing his companion and fellow German, Alois Ulrich. Thomas obliged and struck the man with a hatchet. Though fearful that Joseph would implicate him in the murder, Thomas never saw the man ever again. Not long after, he moved around again and then met Louisa Fox. Though some believed his lengthy list of victims, others doubted that Thomas Carr was a serial killer, and many of the dates and statements he made were later disproven. If, though, it was true, it would make him a fairly prolific serial killer who seemed to be lost to the sands of time. On the day of his execution, after giving a photograph of himself and some rings to two young girls who, infatuated with the murderer, came to visit him, Thomas walked to the scaffold ready to die on March 24, 1870, and after a lengthy speech in which he told his entire life story and blamed the murders on his heavy drinking, the trapdoor was opened and his life came to an end. His execution was the first legal one to ever be carried out in the county. When all was said and done, the only murder we can be absolutely sure he committed was that of Louisa Fox. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on March 7th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you liked it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.